Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to 101.9 CITR FM. We are broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is the UBC Music Collective, and you are listening to Word on the Street. Today we're going to kick off our show talking about a little-known website called SoundCloud. Isaac's got some opinions on that, and he's going to kind of run the discussion today. So Isaac, tell us a little bit about what SoundCloud is.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with SoundCloud, I think the best way to sort of understand it is if you're going to compare it to YouTube, because YouTube is like broadcast yourself. So it's essentially the same thing with music. You can just post whatever you want. It doesn't really even have to be music, just sound, whatever you want, no matter who you are, you're allowed to make music on there. And as a platform, it's this new sort of outlet of how you can make it as an artist. It's different from, you know, Spotify or Apple Music or something like that, where you probably have to pay to get on there. SoundCloud, you can just post it. It's just as easy as posting a YouTube video or saying a message on Facebook. It's like that. And because of its accessibility, you know, it's easy for people to just get exposure. And because big artists are on there too, we've seen a lot of big artists come out of there, like Chance the Rapper, Travis Scott, XXXTentacion, despite his controversy, but you know, we're gonna talk about that later actually. But anyways, artists can make it through this outlet, and it's just a good way to get yourself out there. I have some friends in there. I have one friend, his name is Lil Bean, and just as an example of somebody who's, you know, starting to get exposure, he only started making music last year. And I remember sort of sitting down in my friend's room, and he's just like, Richard's making a song, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll just listen, it's on SoundCloud, it's got like a couple hundred plays, right? Now that guy has over 100k plays in just less than a year. And yeah, it's really interesting. It's a really, you know, millennial contemporary way of getting exposure.
Do you know how he amassed such a following? Is it like purely off SoundCloud? Was he on other stuff like Reddit, KTT?
Mostly SoundCloud, like almost completely. Like he has his Instagram, but his Instagram honestly started out as just like another, like his own Instagram, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then he started promoting it more, but it's just, you know, through, you can use hashtags on SoundCloud like you can on Twitter, and then people can find your stuff through that. Or actually, I don't know how, but when X had his Christmas mixtape, when you played one of X's songs, his song would come up after it. Just by chance, because it'll be like, oh, you listen to this, we recommend this next. It's just like a cue, and it shuffles through what sounds similar, right?
That's sweet.
So I will admit that I'm somebody who has like barely any idea about SoundCloud. I know, of course, the big artists, like I know about Chance and all these, but one thing that I've been wondering is like, how rare is this? Like your friend, how rare is it that someone could go from 100k or 100 plays to like 100,000 plays in like a year?
I feel like, surprisingly, it's not too rare, because I have another friend who's also hit 100K in a year. And they're both, that's just two guys, they're both from my high school. And I met people out here who are on it. Like, you run into people, you know, from streetwear groups and stuff like that. That's a big part of that community. And they'll have, you know, well over that many plays. But the thing about it is, you know, because you don't pay, it is sort of a weak structure. Like last year, they laid off 40% of their staff in a week, and it was going to shut down, but then Chance pretty much saved it. He's like, I'm talking to the, you know, the leader of SoundCloud. He's like, I'm going to save the SoundCloud, because out of all people, he understands, obviously, like one of the most understanding people in this, that it's important, because that's how he made it. Like if it weren't for SoundCloud, we wouldn't have Chance, we wouldn't have Travis Scott or some of these other artists, right? So it's just like, yeah, it's really important. It's just like another way to do it if you can't afford to put it on some other platform.
How does the website make money then if they don't charge the artist anything?
I'm not actually sure. I think that is the problem, because like, I feel like when you go on SoundCloud, I don't even think that there's ads.
No.
No. Yeah. So it's like,
a quick Google search says SoundCloud Pro unlimited subscription is $15 per month or $135 for an annual subscription. So I guess you probably get, I don't know.
The thing is, though, up until recently, I do know this, you could, like, cache your queue, right? So you would literally be able to save everything offline until very recently, like, in the past year. So it's like, why would I pay, right? And because most of us are paying for Spotify or Apple Music, it's just like, I can't afford to put another one on, because personally, like, most of my stuff is on Spotify, so I don't feel like I need to get SoundCloud as well, because I'll just listen to SoundCloud when I'm at home, right?
Yeah. So. It's, yeah, there's that divide between artists that are on Spotify and artists who are only on SoundCloud, and then I find if it's not on Spotify, like, oftentimes I won't have a chance to listen to it because I'm out or I'm just on my phone. Like, not exactly SoundCloud, but with Apple Music.
Yeah.
Not Apple. Tidal.
Yeah, Tidal, yeah.
Not being able to listen to pretty much any Jay-Z albums.
Yeah, that's
so frustrating because, like, this is one of my favorite albums of the year. Yeah. I can't listen to it because it's locked to Tidal. And
yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that way about a lot of mixtapes, right? Because, like, Acid Rap from Chance or Days Before Roadie by Travis, you can't listen to that stuff on other platforms, right? So that's a big reason why I go back. And also because there's so much content on SoundCloud that you literally, you just can't find it anywhere else. Like, it's the only place to find. I feel like there's genres that are on there that don't even exist outside of SoundCloud. So, like, it's really interesting. But yeah, there's one guy I want to mention, and we're going to play a song from him. This guy, we actually met after our Poly 100 exam in December. I was just talking about the Jhené Aiko concert because I went to that and I met her and I was just like obsessing over her. And he's just there because he was in my friend's STT and he was just listening. And then we just talked for like an hour and we were like just talking about hip hop and we didn't even know each other's names. And then he was just like, oh yeah, my name's Andrew, by the way. He's like, I make music. I'm like, cool. And now, like, we talk every day.
Sweet.
You know, so it's just, like, a really interesting connection. So we're going to play his song called 12 Signs.
Okay.
Myself searching for some proof. I always find myself going online. 12 signs that she thinks of you. More than a friend. More than a friend. More than a friend. More than a friend. I always find myself searching for some proof. I always find myself going online. 12 signs that she thinks of you. More than a friend. More than a friend. More than a friend. More than a friend. We'll be right back.
Hey, so I spent that song just kind of thinking over what my impression of Spotify. Like I said already, I don't really use the service as much as maybe, but I've heard a lot about it kind of from an outside perspective, just because as a university student, you can't not hear about SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And so one thing that I was wondering is that you say that users tend to use it as like a jumping off platform, Isaac. So it's like you start on SoundCloud and then maybe you either make it big or you maybe leave SoundCloud if you're not really interested in it, you're not finding the returns that you think you should. What I was wondering is, from like a user's perspective, do you find that that means that SoundCloud is still growing as a platform? Like people are still entering and still using it? Or do you think it's the same people making music and then their like user platform, the people who are submitting content, that's shrinking in a way?
I feel like it, I don't think it's changing too much, because even though, you know, as big as Travis is or X or Chance, they still post their stuff on SoundCloud. Like, when Chance put Coloring Book out, he still put his stuff out on SoundCloud. And often they'll actually put the stuff on SoundCloud first, because I feel like they all have this sort of appreciation, like, this is where I came from. So often when they release stuff, they'll actually put it on there before Spotify, Apple Music, and all of that. So I think it's staying alive because they still post on it. But because, you know, a lot of people aren't buying into the subscription, I wonder what the future is for it, unless they incorporate ads or something else.
Yeah, a lot of big name artists will, if they have a song that's not going on an album or an EP, they'll just kind of throw it on Spotify and just start generating hype off of that, because, you know, they don't want to. I guess that's kind of changing now, though. Like, God's Plan wasn't released first. It was released on SoundCloud as like a single by Drake. But back a couple years ago, Drake would release songs like Back to Back, 0 to 100, Trophies, like all these bangers that never found their way onto albums but generated so much hype for whatever projects. If you're reading this, it's too late and stuff like yeah. that. All of the songs leading up to that were released on SoundCloud, and so it's kind of an easy, really accessible way to generate hype for, you know, if you're a new artist or even if you're a really, really well-established artist.
Like, I was going to say, I think there's always going to be, like, a need for places. So things like mixtapes get posted where, like, maybe samples aren't cleared and stuff, so you can't actually sell that stuff legally. But you can post it on SoundCloud, you can post it on whatever. I mean, there's sites like DatPiff or whatever for hip-hop.
Yeah.
But, like,
DatPiff.com.
I like my music without, like, audio watermarks, preferably. Like, so, like, yeah, I mean, I think SoundCloud will have a place in that aspect of getting new content, but I don't know about, like, business-wise. I mean, let's...
Yeah, because it feels like Bandcamp and SoundCloud and all these different places, or anyone can make a Bandcamp and monetize their stuff if they wanted to. I don't know. It's a weird place. It's kind of like a turning point in music.
Right? No, it's definitely like a good opportunity, I think, both Bandcamp and SoundCloud, just for like emerging artists who don't really know where they're going. They're just kind of making music for the heck of it. But I think one distinction between Bandcamp and SoundCloud is that I know a lot of Bandcamp artists will, like, you can have the option to buy their tracks, or you can only listen to a track a certain amount of times before it'll ask you to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you can still download it illegally, which you should not, but you should not, but it still does happen. But there is that option added in.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point, where it's kind of just, it's not so much, anyone can post on SoundCloud. It doesn't have to be geared towards building a career or anything. Like, when I release music on SoundCloud, it's very much, this is kind of, I don't expect this to go anywhere. It's just somewhere I want to share with people, hey, check out my SoundCloud. Hey, look at this. I do this. Yeah. But it's not necessarily, I am doing this expecting to make it big someday. I'm not doing this expecting to sell out Rogers someday.
And so would you say in that way it's also like a social media platform? Like, it's a way to share the stuff that you've created with your friends, maybe not expecting to, like, record label deals or anything, just because you're passionate about it?
Yeah, it's like when people find out that someone makes music, obviously the first thing they'll ask is, can I listen to some? And having that on hand, you know, I don't keep my music on my phone or whatever, but you can share a link with someone. It's like, hey, this is stuff. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. And it's a nice way to just be able to catalog all your music, share it, and keep it on one place.
Yeah, I think just one more time, just going to say that was Andrew Mulat, 12 Signs. You know, check him out. Good conversation about SoundCloud, and we're going to move on.
Yeah, I was going to listen to a couple ads, maybe play a song or two, and we'll get back to the conversation.
Services or events.
Sugoi at the wedding.
Is Koko Hamamatsu talking about koi fish in a pond or the youth at CITR and Discorder? Get info on your wares, services, or events directly to students, musicians, artists, and all the coolest cats from Bellingham to Squamish by advertising with CITR and Discorder on air, in print, or online. This can be your reality if you email us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates and packages.
I have no words.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
Yep. Won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Been having trouble keeping you off my mind lately. Always comes back to me. Can't explain those tears without no reasons. With your eyes rolled back, with your hands tied, hard to tell if I have done good enough. People running with your head down, down. No reasons to believe it. So slowly, the worst time.
Cause I've been having trouble keeping it off my mind lately. It somehow comes back to me. Never meant to complicate no feelings. With your eyes rolled back, with your hands tied, hard to tell if I have done good enough. You've been running with your head down. No reasons to believe it. So slowly the words turn to eyes. I watch you slip.
Just a quick disclaimer, this song might offend some of our listeners, so be warned.
Yeah. And you say, Shy City, Shy City, Shy City.
I'm coming home again. Do you think about me now and then?
Yeah.
Do you think about me now and then? Cause I'm coming home.
Girl, when I was 3 years old, and what I love most, she had so much soul. She said, excuse me, little homie, I know you don't know me, but my name is Wendy and I like to blow trees, and from that point I never blow her off. Niggas come from out of town, I like to show her off. They like to act tough, she like to tone them off and make them straighten up their hat, cause she know they soft. And when I grew up, she showed me how to go downtown, and at nighttime my face lit up so astounding. I told her, and my heart is where she always be. She never mess with entertainers cause they always leave. She said it felt like they walked and drove on me. Knew I was gang affiliated, got on TV and told on me. I guess it's why last winter she got so cold on me. She said, yeah, keep
I'm
making that, keep making
again.
That platinum and gold for me.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? Cause I'm coming home. We could start again.
But if you really cared for, then you wouldn't have never hit the airport to follow your dreams. Sometimes I still talk to her, but when I talk to her, it always seems like she's talking about me. She said you left your kids and they just like you. They wanna rap and make soul beats just like you, but they just not you. And I just got through talking about what niggas trying to do, just not new. Now everybody got the game figured out all wrong. I guess you never know what you got till it's gone. I guess it's why I'm here and I can't come back home. And guess when I heard that, when I was back home. Every interview I'm representing you, making you proud. Reach for the stars, so if you fall you land on a cloud. Jump in the crowd, sparking lighters, wave them around. If you don't know
I'm
by now, I'm talking
again.
About Chi-Town.
Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? Cause I'm coming home. We could start again.
Well, I apologize for that awkward transition. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you have this song that you really, really like, and then you find out that the person who wrote the song is not such a great person? A couple names come to mind. John Mayer. Woody Allen in film. Kanye West. The reason we're bringing this up is the idea of separating the art from the artist. Would you guys like to give me some opinions on that?
I think there's like distinctions between artists like Kanye, where, you know, he's got good music, and as a person, he's generally just pretty egotistical, but he's never been very problematic. He's just very good at marketing himself, which is one of the reasons he's so successful. But then you look at some other artists, like you look at XXXTentacion, and anyway, you look at artists like that, him, who's been, he blew up, so popular, still very popular in the mainstream today, yet there's so many allegations against him. One is armed battery against a pregnant woman, armed battery, tampering with evidence. He was convicted of, or he was accused of breaking and entering, I think it was, and just totally took the blame for that. Reading a lot of these allegations, especially recently, have just been horrifying, yet he continues to blow up in the music scene. And I feel like a lot of it is very, a lot of the negative aspects of him and his personal life are very covered by the fame of his music.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like with X, it's one of the best examples because also his fan base is insane. Because, like, actually, if you go on his Instagram, he deletes his Instagram posts all the time, but they'll be like, free X, free X, free X, right? And he's trying to really push away from this negative persona, but when you read what he's done, it's really difficult to separate that because, you know, he's trying to push for positivity and stuff all the time. But I think with X, it's a lot different from Kanye because, you know, X did like these really horrible things, like crimes, but Kanye is more just his personality. And I feel like, you know, X, he can be talented, he can make good music, but Kanye is like a different level, and because what he does isn't as nearly as horrible, and his music is that much better, it's not that big of a problem.
But I would argue that Kanye, given his high profile and kind of more public antics, gets a worse rap than, mm-hmm. you know, X or some of these like Kodak Black and
yeah.
artists who have committed actual crimes. You know, talking to relatives or family members who maybe don't know so much about Kanye, they'll kind of speak down to him because what they've seen is, you know, the whole Taylor Swift incident. It's yeah. the easy one. All of this stuff, just Kanye West is not a good person. He's egotistical and they don't know so much about XXX or other artists who yeah. haven't blown up. So maybe it's not such a bad thing.
And then you can compare that to different cases of bands in different music genres. Like you look at the band Power Bottom, they were a very affluent queer punk band, very like rising to the scene. They were super progressive. I think they were asking venues that they played at to include like gender non-conforming mean bathrooms or no gendered bathrooms. Both of the band members are gender non-binary, which is a very big thing in the music industry, especially, or in the music scene, and it was very progressive. But then there was recently in the news, there was a lot of allegations against the lead singer Ben Hopkins of being a sexual predator. And so it started on Twitter as kind of just allegations, and then it blew up with people coming out and receipts being shown. And the other band member, Liv Bruce, was also accused of being a sexual predator, and the whole fan base just kind of let them go. A lot of venues that were booking them just dropped them. Their whole fan base just basically turned on them. And I think when you compare that to artists like X or even Kanye or other like or Kodak in a different music scene, you can kind of compare that between not cultural differences, but maybe people, yeah, maybe the cultural differences that are present there. Like you look at a lot of fans of Power Bottom, a queer punk band, and I feel a lot of people I know like them because they are a queer punk band because they're representative of a minority in the music industry. And you see people that have gone through struggles like that have been either have known a lot of victims in the smaller community or have just seen that or been more affected by it, have been more likely to speak out against that kind of violence, where you look at a larger fan base that is might be a bit more, if you look at a larger fan base, there's going to be more people that are more ignorant to those kind of issues that are more likely to ignore it.
Another thing about Power Bottom is they issued an apology, but it was still kind of like one of those, like, I'm sorry you felt that way, but not taking blame for it, right? And if you look at an even more extreme reaction to accusations, there's this German hardcore band, their name's Wolfdown, and they're very, like, they're known for being very radical with their opinions, and they're very political and, like, I don't know, very left and just, like, a very outspoken band. And their former vocalist, her name, I don't remember her name, but she basically came out and said that the reason she left the band, this was like quite a while after she left, but she said the reason she left the band is because their guitarist like assaulted her and was like just an awful guy. And in addition to the scene and everyone in the scene being like, oh, Wolfdown's awful, like, I can't believe they'd do this, the band itself, they like issued this long, it's like an essay, but basically at the end they're like, given who we are and given our politics and given how outspoken we've been and like what we stand for, we have no option but to like cease to exist. And they just like broke up and like dropped off the face of the earth, and they were doing really well. So it wasn't just their fans like telling, like giving up on them and being like, you guys are awful people. It was them like thinking that they don't have the right to exist anymore in that music scene and like exiting. So that, I feel like that's like a really interesting like happening, because usually you don't see that. Usually it's just like people will like disregard people because they're awful, but you don't see them themselves being like, we don't deserve to exist anymore here.
And do you feel like that was sincere, or do you feel like that was, our career's over, we're gonna go out gracefully because we can't recover from this?
I think, okay, the person, like, they had a new vocalist who came into the band, and I think he probably wasn't aware of all, like, judging by the reaction, and obviously I don't know them, but I feel like he wasn't aware of what happened before he joined the band. So he was the one who was like, no, like, we can't exist anymore. So I feel like it was sincere, hopefully, but I'm not sure. Like, I feel like a lot of bands just take the, like, kick out that one member who is associated with the problem out and then, like, getting a new member. But, and they could have done that, and they probably would have been, like, accepted back into the community, but they went to the extreme. So I feel like it came from a sincere place.
And you can compare that with Power Bottom's reaction. I know they issued out an email on Twitter that was mediated by, or that was assigned a mediator to read all the emails. They said, hey, if you feel like you have been a victim of our band's wrongdoings, feel free, get in contact with us. We're not affiliated with this email. Someone else is reading these. They can help you. They're here for your support. Whereas I feel like, although that is a fair solution, it doesn't solve as many problems, since a lot of people don't usually feel comfortable coming out with that kind of stuff. And it might have just been a half kind of approach to say, hey, let's try to resolve this issue and get back on track, whereas a lot of their fans just did not accept that. They were basically like, okay, what you did is still wrong, we're ceasing to support you as a band, we're boycotting your concerts, we're just cutting you off completely.
Are you guys able to listen to music after a revelation of a not-so-great artist?
I think, for me, it really depends on what they've done. I feel like, since the stuff with X, I don't think I intentionally, like, faded out from him, but just, like, somewhere underneath the surface, like, subconsciously, I just stopped listening to him as much. Because it's pretty tough to read, like, what he did. And it's just, like, some of the worst stuff you can imagine doing to another human being. But also, like, there are other artists where I feel like they're just so popular and so big that it's, like, it's hard to stop listening because of how great they are, like Michael Jackson, Tupac, or like Pink Floyd. They've all, you know, there's all been stuff with them, and it's just like,
you're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. Okay, Michael Jackson, we know that. Tupac supposedly, you know, beat his wife, and Pink Floyd, Roger Waters is anti-Semitic, so yeah. Okay. Were you going to mention something about MF Doom? Because I'm really curious about that.
Oh. I think we'll save that for after the break.
Okay.
You know,
I'm really
a little bit more.
Okay.
Any closing remarks real quick before we take a break?
Sorry about grabbing the mic. I just got excited. So the point that I was going to say is that I think it comes back to the big thing is that it's like the size of the artist, but there's also the scale of like the hypocrisy behind it too. I know the most classic example of an artist whose message is kind of incongruous with their music is John Lennon, who was always preaching like acceptance and peace. And then what he was doing behind the scenes was never really all that peaceful. And so I think you kind of have to consider it in that context. Obviously, we all still listen to John Lennon, and I still think that his music as a person is fantastic. But I do think that it doesn't, even if it doesn't change the degree to which you listen to him or enjoy their music, it does change the way that you think about it, even subconsciously. You're like, I don't know, even though the sound here is great and I agree with what he's saying in the moment, I don't know if I can support him as a person as much as I previously did.
But I think it's also different when it's an artist in the past and you're, like, pretty removed from the person, especially if they're not alive anymore, versus, like, an upcoming artist who's here now and, like, you have people have influence over their career now. So it's, like, a lot easier and it has a lot of, much of, more of an influence how you actually feel about them as a person. Like, Michael Jackson, no matter what, like, they found information about the allegations about him, like, after his death, but, like, he died like a legend. That like his legend status probably will never like get removed because of just how much of an influence he had like while he was on earth. So I feel like it's different. There's like a different situation when it's someone from the past who's like gone now or like not relevant anymore versus an upcoming person.
Yeah, I mean obviously there's so many like influencing factors and so many like different degrees of things that could influence your own opinion, and so I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back into it.
Disability doesn't make you exceptional, but questioning what you think you know about it does.
Accessibility, disability, mental health, ADHD, ADD, and many more topics we explore and cover.
But on where, you say?
It's CITR's All Access Pass.
A unique and collectively blend show on equity, inclusion, and creating awareness for people of all abilities in DC and around the world.
Catch us every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5.
If you want more info or to get involved, please find us on Facebook or send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Am I wrong?
Man, they were nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists. Me.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of f***ing crybabies?
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh in the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Travesty having me, then he told the people you can call me your majesty. Keep your battery charged. He know it won't stick.
So back to separating the art from the artist. What you're listening to right now is All Caps by MF Doom. And MF Doom has been accused, and rightly so, of not showing up to his concerts, but doing something kind of controversial, deploying the Doombots, which is basically a body double wearing MF Doom's. MF Doom, when he performs, he wears, if you guys are familiar with comic books, Dr. Doom's big metal mask to cover his face. And so he has body doubles putting on the mask and lip syncing over backtracks at shows so he doesn't have to show up and perform. And some people say, hey, this is part of his persona. This is part of what he does. He is MF Doom, the mad villain, the vaudeville villain, King Ghidorah. But other people say, we're not paying $25-$50 to watch some chubby guy on stage, you know, making a fool of us all. So what do you guys think? Well,
it's incredible.
I think since I've never been finessed by by MF, I don't feel so bad. I think it's hilarious.
As a big fan, like, I love it because it's like such a hilarious artistic statement, and like, it makes sense because it is who he is. But like, if it happened to me, I'd still be pissed off. But but at the same time, like, you know what? Yeah, it's like, I think Anthony Fantano covered this briefly, and he was like, yeah, if you're an MF Doom fan, though, it's like, what did you expect? Like, if you're really a fan, like, you should expect.
I mean, jumping off of that, though, it's like $50 for a ticket, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like, even from an outside perspective, I feel like there's something that people have purchased and they've paid for, and it's an experience that they really want to have. And I guess it's like a philosophical thing. It's like, if you thought you were watching MF Doom, is it the same as if you really watched MF Doom? But at the same time, it just doesn't sit right with me. I think him saying that he's going to do this thing and taking money, promising that he's going to perform for these people, and then not doing it is morally wrong.
Did they think that they were watching him, or did was the person meant to look enough like him that he would get away with it?
It was, well, from the incident that I was reading, it happened halfway through the show, and they realized, wait, this is a backing track. Wait, that's not Doom. Wait, and they chased him off the stage, and were like, this is, we want our money back. This is ridiculous. I can't believe you've done this kind of thing.
Yeah, because at that point you're pretty much watching like a cover band, right? Or
yeah,
like, or didn't Kanye West have something where he, like, everybody just listened to his new album be released in his presence and he didn't actually sing?
I think that's different though. That's kind of like a listening party with the artist, where they'll be like, okay, we're coming out with this album, we're gonna get all of you together in this parking lot and listen to the new album together, and not marketing it as a performance, but marketing it as, I'm gonna be on stage, I'm gonna be performing, and then not doing that is kind of a, you know, controversial.
I think with Doom is different because if you actually listen to him and you know who he is, then I'm not like that. You just shocked me, but I'm also not that surprised because I've listened to him and now I know how he is. But if Daft Punk did that, then I'd be upset because, like, that's like the only comparable group, I feel like, because the masks. I feel like because I wouldn't have expected it from them, right? But I don't know. I'd never really thought about that happening because it's not really going to happen with anyone except like Doom, or like Daft Punk is the only other group that comes to mind where it's like they're that hidden, right?
I feel like you might just be a stan. You might just be a Doom stan. Defend to the death. Task Force, Lil B. Anyway, I think we've talked enough about separating the art from the artist. We have a couple of other things in the Lower Mainland that's been going on recently. Would you guys like to tell us a little bit about it?
Oh yeah, so we're gonna head to a recap on a show on Friday, Saturday. It was Saturday, in fact, at the Astoria. Tough Age, Jock Tears, Kim Gray, and the Trolls all played. It's a pretty good performance. One notable thing that happened during Tough Age that I just want to point out, kind of wrap Tough Age for a bit, was there's a bit of a disturbance during one of their songs, during the transition into the next song, where a woman was visibly very upset. She was just, like, addressing a guy in the audience saying, get your hands off me, you can't grope me like that, don't touch me. And Tough Age just, like, stopped. Everyone stopped. There was a few seconds for what felt like minutes of just kind of awkward silence. Everyone was like, how do we approach this? What's going on? And they just kind of, the band addressed the problem. They were like, okay, we're not going to continue playing until you stop, until this guy is removed. Like, we're here to support and foster a safe space. So we don't want to support anything that does not comply with that. And I just want to shout it out. Good props to Chaff Age. That's pretty good.
Quick round of applause.
A quick commemorative.
Well done.
Applause. It was a very good performance. I thought it was a lot of fun. Icia, do you have anything to add?
I agree. Good show. I like that the story has like arcade games. So like between sets, you can play pinball and games. Street Fighter, which Brynna destroyed me, and I'm not very good at that game. But yeah, it was a good show. We repped CITR for a little bit. And we tabled and talked to some cool people. So good show. 10 out of 10.
While we are talking about this, I do want to take a moment to mention that Diet Sig is playing at the Cobalt on February 10th, which is next Saturday. The show is from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and they are playing with Great Grandpa and the Spook School. So tickets are available. That'd be a fun time. Icia and I will also be there.
And, along the same lines of artists that have been have upcoming shows, Squatch. Sasquatch Music Festival at the Gorge. Oh my god, this might be the best lineup I have seen in years. Let's pull it up real quick. We got Bon Iver, Modest Mouse, The National. So, come on, start listing names. Go.
Tyler the Creator.
Anderson .Paak.
Vince Staples.
Japan Droids.
Japanese Breakfast. Tokyo Monster.
Nico Case.
Yeah, okay. Lots of bands. That was just off the top of our heads. No one had it pulled up. We're scrambling. It is going to be crazy. What are the dates, Indigo?
They are May 25th to the 27th, so it's the Memorial Day weekend in the States.
Yeah. If you want to go for one of the best shows of your life, or best 3 days of shows of your life, I highly recommend going to Sasquatch. Check it out. Tickets go on sale sometime in the near future. So
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. I gotta scrounge up $400 by Saturday?
Just do it.
Just do it. All right, I'm taking out a loan. Student loans, cover me. Okay, and I think we also had an artist spotlight from Killian.
Sure. So I just want to do a quick breakdown on an artist that caught my eye that are playing this weekend. Their name is Palm Hayes, and they are a Canadian-based duo that was founded in 2015. They are currently based out of Vancouver, but I believe they were founded internationally. They're just at the end of a tour following the release of their 2017 EP, Tangy Dream. I listened to a couple of the songs, and their sound is like a blend of like alternative rock and shoegaze. And it's weird, and it's really pedal heavy, but it also feels like light and refreshing, which is not normal for shoegaze. And it's like dense music, but it doesn't feel like it. They're playing at the Roxy this Thursday at midnight, and I think you should totally check them out if you're interested. And I have a song called Gravitation off their EP, Tangy Dream. So, once again, that was Gravitation by Palm Haze. They are based out of Vancouver, and they're playing at the Roxy on Thursday. But if you can't catch them on Thursday, they're playing again at Stylus Records on Friday. I would totally suggest checking them out. It would be a super worthwhile show.
Awesome. We got 5 minutes left. Let's talk about stuff.
Sure. I think there was something that we were planning on talking about, which is this Music BC program that's coming up. And so for those who don't know, on February 11th, 2016, BC announced the creation of a BC Music Fund, which is essentially a major, like, multi-million dollar investment to support the growth of BC's music industry. And they have a whole bunch of goals behind it, but the main ones are, like, stimulating direct investment, job creation, and a big one is music tourism, because Vancouver is a big scene for music, but they're trying to help to grow that as, like, a program. They also want to increase the export of BC music. So if you guys don't know, Canada is really big into trying to get Canadian music out into the world. We're huge into that, and I totally support it, and I think that's a great initiative. And yeah, that's the new BC initiative. Started in 2016, and it's kind of just started to ramp up in the last little while.
Yeah, just guys closing out the show. Make sure you check out the new edition of Discorder. There's some sweet albums in there you can check out. Johnny by Deals, Meditation Tape by Necking, Afternooners by Patrick Cowley, PF2 by Painted Fruit, Circuit by Rowan Copeland, sorry, Hope You're Well by Project Pablo, and Sour Bubblegum by Frank Dickens, Lieutenant Frank Dickens, sorry sir. Yeah, those are some albums that were under review. Check out the reviews. If anything appeals to you, give it a shout. We're going to close out today with a song.
Peroxide Blondes by Kim Gray.
Peroxide Blondes. Perfect.
We do want to do a quick shout out beforehand of the upcoming program, which
flex
is
your
Flex
neck.
Your Head.
Or flex your head.
It is Flex Your Head.
Flex Your Head.
Flex Your Head.
Yeah.
I'm so, I get it wrong every week.
Yeah. Great program, though. Totally
yeah,
check it out.
Yeah. If you guys like metal and aggressiveness, highly recommend. Okay. Sorry, one more time. What's the song that's coming up?
Peroxide Blondes by Kim Gray.
Perfect.
Who's your teacher? Who's your pet?
is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.